Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, it is a blessed privilege to be with you by means of the airwaves, radio, being able to visit on a daily basis and wanting to encourage you in the way, wanting to see you built up and strengthened in the way that the Lord would have you to go. Also, to ask that you pray for me. I need your prayers. I need to have the blessings of the Lord as we try to do the work of the Lord. It is impossible. It cannot be done that a man should rely upon himself. And there are times when it is a greater opposition to go forward than there are at other times. And so I ask that you pray that the Lord will bless mightily in the helping, in the keeping, focus on Him and on His calling for this preacher's life. The book of Isaiah is a book that, of course, tells much about what's going to be on the morrow. I'm talking about the future. And the prophet's name, Isaiah, means Jehovah is salvation. And Isaiah is the son of Amoz, that is not Amos. These are different people, the son of Amoz. And Isaiah had a very long prophecy. He prophesied during the rule of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And he gave the message that the Lord wanted him to give. He carried God's message in such a way, he presented what the Lord wanted him to say, and when he spoke, he would speak about things that had not yet happened. He would speak about the people's responses, and the people, and the nations, and the enemies that he addressed they hadn't even arrived on the scene. He also spoke of Christ, who had not yet been born in the flesh. He spoke of the incarnation of the Lord, how that he was wounded for our iniquities. Now, you can't wound the Spirit of God, but Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. And Isaiah prophesied so much of this. Here is a man standing 700 years plus away from the cross and is telling about the cross, telling about things that were going to happen and how the people would respond to him. Now, this book of Isaiah is divided into two sections, only two. You will find liberal theologians saying that there are three, four sections of the book of Isaiah. No, there are two, the Old Testament and the New. The first 39 chapters are equivalent to the first 39 books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And the next 27 are equivalent to the New Testament, to the New Covenant. And indeed, the prophecies that are given in Isaiah are so in such detail that those who don't believe the Bible, don't believe God, don't believe miracles, will run to saying that, oh, these things were not prophesied. They are just simply records of what had happened, and someone else by the name of Isaiah wrote these things. Well, let me tell you what the Lord said. When the Lord was alluding to something that Isaiah had said, he would talk about Isaiah having said the first part as well as the second part. There were many times he would quote Isaiah the prophet. And the Lord is saying that Isaiah wrote the first part of the book, the first 39 chapters, and Isaiah wrote the last 27. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Thy great truth, that Thou hast saved us and seen fit to give to us a ministry. Bless us again, I pray. Empower us by Thy grace to be faithful stewards. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Now, we have been looking in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, at the life of Joseph as he is far away from his family. He is now falsely accused. He is at the point where he is a servant and he can be put to death. His master's wife had been sorely rejected by Joseph, and so she wanted to have him punished. She wanted to, because, see, she couldn't get her way, and so she was going to punish him because he had rejected her advances. And so I'm sure that there are many problems like this in the world today, things like that have happened. But the scriptures tell us that when Joseph was taken by his master and put into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, he was there but not alone, because verse 21, the Lord was with him, with Joseph. And the Lord showed Joseph mercy in prison. Now, we can pause there for a while and think of what we ask for mercy. We ask, Lord, show us mercy and don't let us have to go to prison. The scriptures right here say the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy in prison, permitted Joseph to go to prison. And the Lord, now also look at this, and the Lord gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord doesn't have to have us to have favor in the sight of the news media, to go to Hollywood and get the bright lights, to get on the stage of that to have favor. Besides, all of that favor is just fleeting. It's like the mist in the morning when the dew comes on the grass, or like the cloud that is tossed about. Another wind comes along and blows that one away, and another one comes in its place. That's what favor of man, the favor of man is just temporal. And beauty is vain. But if you fear the Lord, you have something that lasts. And then when you fear the Lord blesses. The Lord provides with a great sense of his nearness. Now, so many of us are tempted to think that if we're to have the blessings of the Lord, we'll not have any hardship. We'll have everything like we want it. Oh, yes, and there won't be any problems. No, don't you understand that there is nothing too hard for God, which means that the Lord can permit problems to come and give us a sense of his presence in the midst of those problems, and he can be holding us up so that the walls around us of the problem do not press in on us and destroy us. He may put us in a small place, but he is a big God. And if God is there, the place may seem to be small, but it's how big is our God? He inhabits the heavens. He reaches all the way to the stars and beyond. They don't move without his power. So if the Lord puts you in a small place and you look upon this and you say you're in a prison place, in a narrow way, a straight way, remember, as a Christian, the Lord is there, and it's not too small for him. You and I are small, and the problem seems big. But if God is there, it's not a small place. And consider this also. If you've been called to a place to serve the Lord, and it seems like it's just a small little place, a small little task to do. Oh, listen to me. If the Lord is there, it's not a small place at all. It is indeed a great and large and wide space. You know what Solomon said when he built the temple? He said, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this place that I have builded for thee." Find that in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. He knew that God was big. Solomon saw the material wealth and blessings of the Lord, and he had favor with his own father. Now, Joseph, on the other hand, is going to experience some hardship and some pain, some difficulties, some seemingly what we would call setbacks and discouraging moments that we would think of. But Joseph didn't look upon those as setbacks. He remembered the Lord was with him, because he said earlier up in the, in verse 9 of chapter 39, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. Joseph, you mean God is with you? You know about God's presence? Well, he showed that he knew of it because he lived right. Then when he said in verse 21, the Holy Spirit of God penned these words using Moses' hand, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. So now he is on the bottom. He is raised up, elevated in the bottom, above all that are there. Will he be faithful now? Will he be faithful in this least? Would he come to the place of saying, I don't deserve to be here. I've been falsely accused. And would he be angry and bitter? Would he let his losses in the past dominate his view of the future? That happens to so many, and I'm sure I'm speaking to someone now. You cannot go forward. You can't get past some painful loss you've experienced in the past. You're holding on to it, and it's seasoning you. It's blinding you. It's making you bitter. You're not a pleasant person to be around because of some loss that you've experienced. I don't know you, so I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you how things are in the world. That's what happens when people don't recognize that as Christians, the Lord is with us. He's with us in the prison. He's with us when we're in the palace, too. He was with Joseph here. And so if you recognize that he's with you in the prison, when you arrive in the palace, you won't be proud. You will remember it's the Lord who has brought you there, because that's the path that Joseph is traveling on. The path to the palace led through the prison. He was in the prison house, and he is going to wind up in a place of great leadership. He learns to manage problems and to supervise people, to help them and to minister to their needs when he was at the very bottom. And so that raised him up. And whatsoever he did in the prison, Joseph, again, he was in charge. The Lord had his hand upon him. And so the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. That sounds like a repeat. That Jacob didn't have to worry about what Joseph would do. And Potiphar didn't have to worry about how Joseph would manage things. And now the keeper of the prison doesn't have to look to anything that Joseph is caring for. What does it say in verse 23? Because the Lord was with him and did that which was right. Joseph did it, and the Lord made it to prosper. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, I pray thee, to be faithful, knowing that the Lord is with us as Christians. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. You can write to me at Light for the Pathway, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, 29609.